I made mention of a couple of things this morning, the fact that we had three baptisms at camp. We had four during our mission trip to Costa Rica. And I failed to mention the fact that we had one here while we were gone, or at least while I was gone. And David, we are glad that you made that decision. And it just so shows that souls are being converted in many, many places. And that's what we desire, and that's what we want. Very quickly also, before we start, we were in Costa Rica, and myself and Peggy and Michael were all in a group out door knocking, and we had a translator by the name of Ishmael. Ishmael was 22 years old. He had been converted about 2 or 3 years ago, and his conversion came simply by one of his friends inviting him to the worship services. His whole family was Catholic, and he attended with his friend, and by that, he was converted to the cause of Jesus Christ. So it shows the importance of our merely inviting some friends, and very easily an individual might be converted to the gospel. We do have several who are visiting with us tonight, and we appreciate that. Tony's back there, and we're glad he's here. And also a lady named Jennifer, and her little one Raina is with us, and we are glad they are both here from Atlantic Beach, and we're glad that they're here tonight. And we appreciate the members being here, and we're glad to have this opportunity to worship our Holy Father in heaven. 1 John 3:4 states, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law." My friends, sin is a horrible, heinous crime before God Almighty. But yet there are many individuals who do not see sin with that perception. There are many individuals who would have us to believe that sin brings joy to their lives. Other individuals believe that sin is something that when they are involved in it, it satisfies the lusts of their flesh. Sin in many places is something that causes individuals to be accepted in certain circles. And there are some people who believe that sin is a cure-all for all of life's problems. What many individuals fail to understand is that there is what is known as a sting to sin. I was doing a little studying not long ago about scorpions. And I wanted to find out what the most deadly scorpion of all that there is. And within the United States, it is a small little scorpion by the name of the bark scorpion, B-A-R-K. As I looked at all of the problems that develop from a sting from this little scorpion, here are a list of some of them. Pain, tingling, burning sensation at the sting site. Malaise. By that we are talking about mental uneasiness and fatigue. There's also sweating, nausea, vomiting, salivating, numbness, muscle twitching. Abnormal neck, eye, and head movements. Heart palpitations, breathing difficulties, blurring of consciousness, unconsciousness, convulsions, a fall in blood pressure, shock, and from what? One little sting from the bark scorpion. My friend, sin is much like the sting of that little scorpion. It looks little. It looks small. It looks as if it would cause no problems whatsoever. And yet, when sin stings, there are horrible consequences thereunto. The title of our lesson tonight is The Sting of Sin. And we're going to make application of that in several different areas. Point number one. Sin can sting the individual life of any human being. Let's talk about just one from Scripture. There was an apostle of Jesus Christ who is extremely well known. In fact, in all of the list of the apostles except one, he heads the list, and his name is Peter. He was an apostle who left all in order to serve Jesus Christ. He gave up his family. He gave up his family business in order to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. He was an apostle who was decisive. He was an apostle who was excited, who was energetic. He was an apostle who thought that there was absolutely nothing that could separate him from his Lord and Savior. On one occasion, he spoke these words unto Jesus. Though all men shall be offended because of thee, I shall never be offended. Matthew 26, verse 33. But we all know that sin struck the life of this apostle. Peter is well known for this transgression, is he not? On the night of our Lord's arrest, on the night of our Lord's trial, three times Peter was confronted by various individuals and was said to be an apostle or a follower of Jesus, and three times he denied his master. And we see the sting of that sin in the life of Peter in Luke 22, 60 through 62. For there the text says, "And Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord looked upon Peter. Then remembered Peter the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, how he said, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Then Peter went out and wept bitterly." I would love to have been a reporter at that particular time. I would have loved to have gotten up early the next morning, and I would have loved to have brought Peter into my office and have just looked at him and talked to him and issued forth a series of questions to him. Peter, what happened to you last night? And Peter would have bowed his head in shame and he would have said, I denied the Lord Jesus Christ. Three times individuals came to me and three times I denied my Savior. I was in anguish. I was in shame. I was in guilt. I was standing there immediately after the denial, and the eyes of Jesus pierced my heart. And I sinned against my God. The sting of sin in the life of a human being. My friends, it does not take much in order to bring us to our knees before God. Sins that we believe are harmless, sins that we believe will never be found out, sins that we think nobody knows about, and it's just little. Those very sins are the ones that can literally destroy the reputation and the life of individuals, even the child of the living God. They can bring us to our knees before God and cause us to weep bitterly because of sin. Sin can sting the life of any human being. Point number two, sin can bring a sting to any home in any nation within this world. A home is referred to in psychology and sociology as a system. By that, we mean that it has many intricate parts that all work and labor and toil one with another. And if that be the case, that all of the parts of a home are integrated, then just one problem in any one of the parts can cause the entirety of that home to be impacted. It's much like a car. A car is a system, is it not? We have what is referred to as the ignition system. And there are many parts in that ignition system. A key, an ignition switch. We have the battery, the alternator. We have the gas and the gas tank. We have the firing of various things in order to ignite that gas, and all of those things are integrated one with another, and just let one part not work, and guess what? The whole system can be impacted. I don't guess any of us have ever had a problem with that, have we? Jump in that car, put that key in, and you're just sick. Your whole day is ruined. And you find out, guess what? It's a $150 battery. Just a battery. That's all it is. One part can ruin the entire system. Folks, that is exactly what can transpire in a home. There are mothers, there are fathers, there are husbands, there are wives, there are children, there are grandparents within homes. And anything within that system that breaks down, and especially anything within that system that is involved in sin, can bring destruction and havoc to all of the system. We read about an example of this in Joshua chapter 7, don't we? In Joshua chapter 6, God had told the nation of Israel to enter into the land of promise, specifically the city of Jericho, and overthrow that city. He gave them specific instructions, did he not, as to how to do that. When he came to the end of those instructions, he says this: everything within this city is accursed. Now that's a pretty strong word, isn't it? When he said accursed, what he meant by that is this: it is devoted to me. It is off limits to any human being. These were the first fruits of the nation of Israel, weren't they? The land of Canaan. And these first fruits were to be given unto God Almighty. And no person was to take anything in that city. Yet, one man sinned against his God. And Achan answered and said unto Joshua, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw a goodly Babylonian garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are in the midst of my tent, and the silver under them. Joshua 7, 20 and 21. What did God say? God said, do not take of the accursed thing. Do not take of any of the spoils of this city. And Joshua or Achan violated the will of the Almighty God. Drop down to verse 25. Did that sin impact the entirety of the family of Achan? Absolutely. Every one of his family members was brought before the children of Israel, and all of them were stoned, and all of them were burned to death. The sin of one man impacted the totality of his family. Can one sin impact a whole family? Absolutely. We have many families right here in Atlantic Beach, do we not? And within those families, everybody is doing well except for one person. One person. And maybe that individual is an addict. He's addicted to alcohol. He's addicted to gambling. He's addicted to drugs. And every day, every family member that is there is afflicted with his addiction. We have individuals who believe that there is no longer a commitment that is to be made to a marriage relationship. And they go out here and they have their flings. They have their affairs. God calls them fornication and adultery. And those things adversely impact that home. The spouse is impacted. The children are impacted. When divorce occurs, the ones that are hurt the most are the children. And they've done absolutely nothing in that sin, but yet they are affected thereby. Greed, hatred, jealousy, wrath, all of these sins can impact a home negatively, and all it takes is one person to afflict that home, and every life can feel the sting of sin. Point number three. Sin can sting an entire nation of people, can it not? Folks, nations are nothing more than large systems, aren't they? You and I refer to ourselves as the citizens of the United States of America. Now, there are some individuals, and I hear some of these individuals on the radio, who believe that what individual citizens of a nation do have no impact whatsoever upon a nation. That could not be farther from the truth. What you do and what I do impacts the totality of the United States of America. And the very minute that you and I engage in sin and iniquity, we weaken this country. And sadly, there's many individuals who fail to understand that. We turn to Genesis the 18th and 19th chapters and we see an illustration, do we not? Sin impacted a large community of individuals. We refer to them by two city names, Sodom and Gomorrah. Genesis 18:20 says the sin of that city was very grievous in the sight of God. A man by the name of Abraham petitions God for that city, and he starts with 50 righteous. If only 50 can be found, will you not destroy the city? Folks, we go all the way to the number 10. And not even 10 can be found in the city. Did the sin of that city impact every individual therein? Even the righteous? Yes. Even Lot himself was impacted by the sin of that city. The Bible says, and God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah with brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And all the cities thereof, and all the plain, and all the inhabitants thereof, and all that grew out of the ground. Genesis, the 18th chapter. Sin can destroy a nation. But now you said, Vic, that the sin of just one person can impact the entirety of a nation. I have proof of that as well. We turn to 2 Samuel, the 24th chapter, and we find a king by the name of David who decides that he needs to number his people. Individuals exhort him, individuals encourage him. David, don't do this sin. Don't do this transgression. Trust in God. And yet David went on to number the people. When the census was taken, the Bible says that God sent forth a pestilence upon the children of Israel. From the morning even unto the appointed time. Now listen to this. And there died of the people 170,000 men, verse 24. The sin of one brought forth the destruction of 70,000 individuals. Don't tell me that sin in the life of one person can't destroy an entire nation. What about the nations of Israel and the nations of Judah? Write down 2 Kings 17. Write down 2 Kings 24. And you go read those chapters tonight and you'll find the nation of Israel carried away into Assyrian captivity. You'll find just a few years later, the nation of Judah carried away into Babylonian captivity. Why? Sin. Specifically, idolatry. When a nation forgets God, when a nation sins against God, that nation can be adversely impacted. Psalm 9 verse 17 says, and the wicked shall be turned into hell. Now note this. And all nations, including the United States of America, that's not in the Bible. But when it says all nations, it includes us, does it not? And all nations that forget God. When you and I are looking at this great nation, the one thing that should concern us is who is it among our leaders that takes a stand for the Almighty God? Who is it that believes in God's standard? Who is it that's going to uphold the principles of righteousness? Who is it that's going to turn us to God and His Word? Because the moment we forget God, this nation begins to turn to the depths of the Hadean realm, my friends. And we need to remember that. Sin can impact a nation. Point number four. Can sin impact and sting a congregation of the Lord's people? The Bible says that we are the called out ones, aren't we? We've been called out of the sin of the world into the precious kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. We refer to ourselves as saints, don't we? We are no longer those sinners who habitually practice sin in our lives. We are the holy ones. We are the sanctified. We are the set apart ones. We are the ones who have been chosen for a holy purpose unto God. But let sin enter into this precious body, and you don't believe this body can be impacted? It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you. And such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. 1 Corinthians 5 verse 1. One sin, fornication in the midst of a congregation. And Paul takes one full chapter in the book of Corinthians and he deals with that congregation. A man had his father's wife. Most believe that was his stepmother. And here he was involved in sexual relationships with his stepmother. What was the reaction of the church? Verse 2. But ye are puffed up and have not rather mourned, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. They did nothing. Sweep it under the rug. Act like it doesn't exist. Don't be bothered by it. Maybe it'll just go away. Whatever the reaction, they refused to deal with it. Listen to verse 6. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? I'm not a cook. Never will be a cook. That's what I'm married for. No, I'm kidding. Get myself in trouble. But I'm not a cook. But I remember my grandma fixing biscuits. And you want to know one of the most fun things about biscuits? Is watching her knead that dough and everything, cutting out those biscuits. We got to cut those things. You cut them in all kinds of shapes. Because whatever shape you cut them in, that's the way they cooked. But first you had to set them near some heat, did you not? And the reason is because there's a little leaven in that dough. You go out of the kitchen for a few minutes and you come back in and them little flat biscuits, we're about that tall. Ooh-wee, those are going to be some good biscuits. Why? Because just a little pinch of leaven had been put therein, and it impacted the entirety of that dough. Paul says that's what sin can do to a church. He says in verse 13, therefore take away that wicked person which is among you. Paul's talking about church discipline, my friends. He's talking about getting rid of that individual who is a sinner. Setting that individual aside until that individual repents of his transgressions and his iniquities. Because if you don't, his sin can impact the rest of a congregation. I am literally amazed how many churches act as though the unfaithfulness of one person isn't a big deal. They don't deal with it, do they? And you want to know what we have in churches? We have a huge distinction in numbers, don't we? 150 people on Sunday morning, 60 on Sunday night. What? Where are you? Ah, it's okay. And so, guess what everybody begins to think? It's okay. I'll just stay at home too. And more stay at home, and more stay at home, and more stay at home. And everybody gets concerned about all those people that don't come back. Folks, the minute we do not deal with sin is the very minute that the entire congregation can be affected. And it may be the same sin, or it may be sins of even a worst nature, can't they? That's why congregations are exhorted. Do not overlook sin. Do not play like it doesn't exist. Deal with the sin that is among you. We saw it in the nation of Israel with Achan. They dealt with it. We see it with Paul in 1 Corinthians 5. He said, deal with it. And we need to deal with any sin that is found within this congregation of the Lord's people. You see, sin can sting congregations. Point number 5. Sin will ultimately sting individuals at the judgment. The Bible says, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, and hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. Acts 17, verse 31. My friends, just as sure as I am standing here tonight, there is going to be a day of judgment. How do you know that, Vic? How can you speak so certainly about that? Because I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ on the third day was raised from the grave. And just as surely as he was raised is the certainty of final judgment. And Romans 14, 12 says that every one of us shall give an account of himself unto God. And some individuals, as they stand there before the judgment bar of God, are going to feel the sting of their sin. The atheist will feel the sting of his sin. That individual who has refused to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ will feel the sting of his sin. We were in Costa Rica, and Jack Farber, the leader of the group, he studied with a couple, a mother and a daughter, for 5.5 hours. At the end of that study, they were right there at the decision. Time to go and immerse themselves into Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. Jack didn't want to push too hard. He didn't want them to do it for him. He wanted them to do it for them. So he let them alone and said, "You make the decision." Called the next morning. "We're not going to do it." Individuals who refuse to obey the gospel of Christ will feel the sting of sin. And you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. There's the atheist. And who obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 8. You don't obey the gospel, you'll stand before God and feel the sting of that irresponsible decision before God. My friend, if you're a Christian and you've obeyed the gospel, you've learned the truth, you know exactly what needs to be done, you've been given the honor of serving in His kingdom, and you turn your back on that, and you go back to the world, you will stand before God and feel the sting of sin. If you and I are participating in secret sins, we will stand before God and feel the sting of that sin. If you and I preach false doctrine, we will feel the sting of sin. If we are disruptive of the body of Christ and divide the body of Christ over issues not pertaining to the Bible, we will feel the sting of that sin. If you and I commit sins of omission, just not doing the things that God wants us to do, we will feel the sting of sin. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. Now listen to him. Against all, do you get that? All ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Romans 1:18. The rich man died, did he not? The Bible says he was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Luke 16, 22 and 23. Upon his death, the rich man felt the sting of sin. Sin is a horrible thing, an awful thing. And yet somehow Satan has the ability to get us not to see it that way, doesn't he? Well, it's not too bad. It's not hurting anybody. Nobody knows about it. I'll do it for a little time and then I'll get out of it. Whatever it might be, I've got to do it if I'm going to be acceptable, if I'm going to get that promotion. I just got to do this sin. But what we need to do, folks, is quit looking at the here and now, and we need to look at the consequences. We need to look at the sting of that sin. If only our eyes could go beyond the here and now and see the end results and the consequences of our transgressions, we would live differently when it comes to the transgression of the law of God. But we all struggle with it, don't we? And all of us at times fail and sin. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Do you hear that? To save sinners. And Paul says, of whom I am chief. 1 Timothy 1:15. My friends, Jesus Christ came to take care of the sin problem. He cannot always and will not always take away the consequences. But he can remove sin completely from your life. And he does it in the same manner for the Christian and for the non-Christian through his precious blood. Now the avenue for the non-Christian is different than the avenue for the Christian. The non-Christian has been told to believe in Jesus as the Son of God. John 8:24. To repent of his sins, Luke 13:3. To confess the name of Jesus Christ, Matthew 10:32. And to be baptized into Christ for the remission of sin, Luke 24:44 through 47. The Christian who has erred and gone back into sin is exhorted to repent, Acts 8:20 through 22. To confess those sins, 1 John 1 verse 9. And to plead God's forgiveness, Acts 8. Verse 22. Do you need to do that? My friends, do not continue in sin and do not die and face the sting of sin in your life. Do you need to respond to the Lord's invitation? Won't you come as we stand and sing?